I'm Howie Subregardis, this is Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm glad to be here. Imagine worshiping in a synagogue, and suddenly the place is set afire. This is what worshippers at the Adas Israel Synagogue in Melbourne, Australia, experienced last week. Around 4 a.m. on Friday morning, the synagogue was set afire. Now, the synagogue is one of those synagogues that regularly hold overnight services, so there were people in the synagogue when it was set on fire. Here's a quote from the president of the synagogue. There was a banging on the door, some liquid was thrown inside and was lit alight. The few people inside the synagogue ran outside the back door. One of them got burned, he said. The whole place took a light pretty quick. Officers from the Victoria Police and Arson Explosive Squad are investigating what they say was a deliberate attack on one of Australia's most significant Jewish centers. Speaking to reporters on Friday, Detective Inspector Chris Murray said that two figures were seen spreading an accelerant of some type inside the premises. Murray said the attack was targeted, but stopped short of labeling the alleged arson a terror attack. Quote, "We're not ruling anything out," he said. He was personally worried about the rise of anti-Semitic attacks in Australia. We spoke about Montreal and 650% rise in anti-Semitic attacks in Montreal and anti-Jewish attacks in Montreal last week on the show. We talked about how the Montreal community experiences 70% of all hate crimes in Canada. In Melbourne, Australia, and in all of Australia, there is a 600% rise of anti-Jewish attacks since October 7th. And now we have an attack that is very reminiscent of Kristallnacht. Now, I hate to do the Holocaust is happening again argument, but it is a reality. And it's a reality we have to recognize and a reality we have to understand. When Jews are being burned alive in a synagogue, when attacks on the Jewish community have risen to well beyond what any reasonable person would agree would be a reasonable amount of attacks. No attack would be reasonable, but we have to understand that there will always be hate attacks against minority groups. But when the amount of attacks have risen to the point where Jews are being burned alive, synagogues are being set afire while Jews are worshiping inside, then we have to wonder, is the Holocaust happening again? Are we starting to see the beginnings of the Holocaust? Now, Jewish community leaders across the world are saying this is an overstatement, are arguing that people who are saying this are fearmongers, and we're trying to scare the community into moving to Israel or into fighting back or into being belligerent. But the more we see these attacks happening, Jews being beaten on the streets in Europe, synagogues being set on fire in Australia. And I have to remind you that just not long ago, a few months ago, maybe a half a year ago, in Sydney, Australia, this attack happened in Melbourne. The other attack happened in Sydney. There were a pro-Hamas gathering just after October 7th, where people in Australia at that gathering were screaming and chanting, "Gaz the Jews," in front of the Sydney Opera House. They were gazing, "Gaz the Jews." That's what they were chanting, "Gaz the Jews." And now, in Australia, they lit a synagogue on fire with Jews inside. Now, don't say that Jews are fear-mongering when we talk about the Holocaust and the kind of hatred that has been expressing itself since October 7th against the Jewish community. We've seen this before. And I can understand history. And we recognize when things are going in the direction that historically was not very good for the Jewish people. We recognize that. We're not lambs being led to the slaughter anymore. We're sophisticated people who understand that when hatred rises the way it's risen since October 7th, when attacks on the Jewish community continue, when synagogues are being set on fire while people are praying inside, and Jews are being burned alive, when 1,500 people could be killed because they are Jewish in one day, we understand that this is the beginning of another Holocaust against the Jewish people. We've been through this before. We understand this. We get it. And to call me a fearmonger, to call anybody pointing this out a fearmonger, you are just hiding under a rock. Those of us who understand history understand where this is leading and understand how dangerous this situation is. We also see the trend, and it was a common trend in the 1930s and 40s, of world leaders and the world essentially abandoning the Jewish people. Now, this time it's under the guise of anti-Zionism, under the guise of we hate Israel, under the guise of Israel and Gaza are having a war, and Israel's winning the war, therefore they're genocidal killers. It's under that guise, under that umbrella, under that misguided and misinterpreted explanation. Oh, I don't hate Jews, I hate Zionists. This is what I hear from the anti-Jewish, anti-pro-Hamas crowd. I hate Zionists. I don't hate Jews. I love Jews. Jews are my best friends. I hate Zionists. We know that it's not true. You can't fool us. If you hate Zionists and you're protesting against Zionism, then why are you attacking Jews? Why aren't you attacking Zionists? Why aren't you attacking Zionist centers and Israeli consulates and politicians? If you want to attack a country, you attack the military or the politicians or the political structure of a company or the economic structure of a country. If you want to attack random citizens living in streets in Australia, in the United States, in Canada, that's not making a statement. That's not fighting against an oppressor, if that's what you think Israel is. That's attacking Jews for the simple point of being Jewish, for the simple point of having the same religion as the state of Israel. There are plenty of Jews who don't support the state of Israel, but they get attacked too, which is odd to me. But when I realize that the point of the attacks is not to terrorize or to kill Zionists or to pressure the state of Israel to give up whatever they claim is Arab land, the point of the attacks is to kill Jews and to scare the Jewish community. Once you realize that, then these attacks make more sense. Once you realize that Jew haters exist, and they'll use any excuse to attack Jews. So in the 1930s, it was an economic excuse. In the 2023s and 24s and 25s, it's the state of Israel. Once you accept that, then you know that a potential Holocaust could happen at any time. That the complete genocide or the attempted genocide of the Jewish people, and there'll never be a complete genocide of Jewish people, but the attempted genocide of the Jewish people is ready to happen. The people are primed and ready to go. When you know that these people who claim to be pro-Palestinian, whatever that means, are yelling, the final solution is here, are yelling, globalize the Intifada, are yelling, Gaz the Jews, the message is fairly clear. I'm going to quote Meir Kahana, Rabbi Meir Kahana, who said very clearly that when my enemy tells me that they want to kill me, I believe them. I have no reason to doubt them. I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. Why would they lie to me? If they tell me I hate you, I hate your religion, I hate you because of your religion, I want to kill you, why would I doubt that they would want to kill me? Why would I say they misspoke or that I misunderstood them? It's been fairly clear. But Jewish leaders in the diaspora outside of Israel like to live with rose-colored glasses. They like to look at the world as there is no danger, as if there's no danger. They like to pretend that the Jewish community is not in grave, grave, grave danger right now. They like to fake it. They figure if they fake it and they kowtow to the Jew haters will back off and find some other target. But meanwhile, Jewish institutions and Jewish organizations and Jewish synagogues are the only organizations and synagogues that have to have security guards standing in front of their buildings, are the only organizations that have to have metal detectors at their United Federation buildings, are the only, it's the only community that has to have a full security network set up because of danger to the people who live in that community. It's the only community Catholic schools weren't shot at, Muslim schools weren't shot at. It's the only communities that had schools shot at in North America. One has to wonder, how many more signs, how many more times do we have to tolerate and understand and live through these kind of attacks before our Jewish community wakes up, before our Jewish leaders wake up and realize that this is not random. It is not lone attacks, lone people attacking. This is a very serious situation that has to be dealt with in one of two ways. Either the politicians and the police departments have to get on board and start arresting and deporting people, or the Jewish community has to get all the Jews out of North America and out of Europe and send them all to Israel and out of Australia. The world Jewish community has to be sent to Israel. These are the only two solutions. Otherwise, we're going to start seeing Jews being rounded up. Look, this is not happening yet, but it's going to happen. The next step, first they attack you in your synagogue streets. Let me try that again. First they attack you in the streets. Then they attack you in the synagogues. Then they round you up and put you in concentration camps and gas and kill you. We've seen this before. We're not blind. We're not stupid. We understand where this is leading to. We've seen the rhetoric build. We've seen the hatred in the communities build. We've seen full countries, full continents turn against the Jewish people on a whim. And we've seen the attacks. We've seen the murders. We've seen the thefts. We've seen plenty of death. The Jewish community understands what it means to be the target of a genocide. The Jewish community understands the signs of an upcoming genocide. But how is the Jewish community going to react to this? How is world Jewry going to react to this? We can't just sit back and say Israel will protect us, because Israel can't be everywhere. Israel can't protect Jews all over the world. You can't rely on the countries that you live in to protect you, because they see you as a foreigner. It's weird to say, but five generations, six generations living in a country still doesn't make a Jew a member of that country. I know it sounds strange. And it sounds like something out of a dystopian novel, really. But the truth is that Jews never fit in anywhere. Nobody's ever accepted Jews as citizens of their countries. They've tolerated them. Last week we spoke about Canada in the 1940s when there was a ship, the St. Louis, that had hundreds of Jews on it trying to escape Nazi Germany, knowing that they were going to concentration camps. They commandeered a ship and they took off. They had licenses to go to Cuba, but Cuba didn't let them in. And at the Evian conference where people were discussing what to do with these refugees, Canada said, none is too many, when asked how many they were going to take in. None is too many. So we understand that in Canada, they didn't want any Jews. The United States didn't take any either. The St. Louis ended up turning around and going back to Belgium, where they were rounded up and murdered in the concentration camps. They had a chance to escape, a chance to live, but no country would give them entry. So we understand that the world does not like Jews. We get it. It wasn't that long ago. There are still people alive who might remember that these things happened. I know we stopped teaching history in school, but there are people alive who might still remember that these things happened not that long ago, less than a century ago. And so while we bask in the freedom offered by the countries that we live in the diaspora, we also understand that the freedom is not real, at least not for Jews. When you talk about American liberty, it doesn't apply to the Jewish community. When you talk about freedom of expression, it doesn't apply to pro-Israel people. When you talk about freedom of religion. Apparently it doesn't apply to people in Australia. It's very scary when you think about it. And it's something that has to be done. Something has to be done right now. We can't wait. We can't wait until the stormtroopers start walking down the street. We can't wait until the mobs of people come and start killing Jews in synagogues and in Jewish institutions around the world. We can't wait for the Intifada to globalize completely. All these attacks we're starting to see are the globalization of the Intifada. So they talk about globalizing the Intifada. This is what it is, random attacks against Jewish communities around the world. We can't wait for them to mobilize, to globalize, and then to come and kill us. Waiting would be suicide. And allowing this to continue and not fighting back would truly be suicide. The Canadian Jewish Defense League has reformed, and they're trying to protect Jewish institutions from these crazy pro-Hamas mobs that are attacking them. But it's not enough. As long as politicians and the police forces aren't standing up and saying, no way, we're not going to tolerate this in our countries. We're not going to allow a group of people to be killed in our country. And these attacks will continue. And so far, there have been no politicians who have gotten up to defend the Jewish community. No federal politicians in Australia. No federal politicians in Canada. Nobody in the United States. Nobody's gotten up to protect the Jewish community. Nobody has said this is totally unacceptable. There have been no UN condemnations against attacks on the Jewish community. There have been no condemnations of world leaders. If a mosque was bombed or set off fire with people inside it, like a synagogue in Australia, that would have been an international incident with world leaders around the world condemning that kind of attack. But because it was Jews, there's been nothing but silence. It's not even covered in most newspapers. In fact, the information I got about the Australian attack, I got from Australian newspapers because I couldn't find any information on it at all in North American newspapers. If you ask the average Jew in North America, they probably don't even know what happened. Because the world, and the world media, doesn't care about Jewish life. Jewish life doesn't matter. And this is where we lie. This is where the problem lies. There are good people out there. There's a lot of good people out there. But they get caught up in a frenzy. There were good people in Germany in the 1930s and 40s too. But they get caught up in a frenzy. And the good people always end up the losers. People who saved Jews were killed by the Nazis. People who saved Jews were murdered and tortured. So not too many good people step forward. And when you run for politics, they run your name through the mud and they run your family through the mud. So not too many good people step forward. So the politicians are made up of not such good people. But the bias is there. And it's obvious. And we're living through the kind of hell that exists when the world has decided that Jewish life does not matter. This is the kind of hell that we're living through as the Jewish community. And when we talk about it, there are many people who say, hey, stop talking about it. Nobody wants to hear about this stuff anymore. October 7th happened a year ago. Why are we still talking about October 7th? Because October 7th is still happening. It's still happening. It hasn't stopped. That terror attack against the Jewish community hasn't stopped since October 7th. It started in Israel, and it started in cities in Israel where the people in the cities were pro-Gaza, who were trying to help the Gazan people. And they were murdered for their benevolence, I guess. And it hasn't stopped. So October 7th, the attack, the terror attack on October 7th, continues around the world. When a Hamas leader got on television right after October 7th and said the Jewish community, and he didn't say the Israelis, the Jewish community will experience October 7th over and over and over and over and over again, he was not lying. It's happening as we speak. Just ask the people at the Adas Israel Synagogue in Australia, in Melbourne, as they were praying and then they were lit on fire. As the people in the synagogue in Montreal who left services last Saturday, and as they were walking in front of the synagogue going home, a black Jeep drove by with somebody yelling, "Free Palestine, Free Palestine." Now, the same way they yelled Free Palestine, there was no violence involved in that incident. But the same way they yelled Free Palestine, there were hundreds of Jews in the streets. It could have happened that they would have driven by with a gun. Then the story would be totally different. The reason it's a big deal, who cares what people have to say, scream out the window of a car, it's totally irrelevant, and totally not a threat, not a physical threat against the community, but it is a physical threat against the community. It's a physical threat against the community because that person, the same person who yelled out the window, could have taken a gun and just sprayed everybody with bullets. And the world would not have condemned it. Nobody would have cared. Maybe the politicians would have shown up for a day to make a statement in front of the building. There would have been a funeral, but there would have been no condemnations, no arrests, and no convictions on terrorist charges. And nobody would even call it a terrorist attack. Because that's the world we're living in. Even in Australia, where Jews are praying in a building, and somebody came and threw gas on the building and lit the building on fire while Jews were praying inside, the Australian police are hesitant to call it a terror attack. In Montreal, when a Jewish school was shot twice in a week, Montreal police refused to call it a terror attack. But this is not new. It's not new at all. There have been plenty of incidents that were terror incidents that weren't called terror attacks. It's the nature of the being. Just after 9/11, and just before 9/11, a Jewish school, once again in Montreal, because Montreal is a hotbed of terror against the Jewish community, Jewish school in Montreal was firebombed. The justice minister at the time was Aaron Kotler. He's a world-renowned human rights lawyer, who, by the way, is now under 24-hour protection because Iran put a fatwa on his head as an 80-odd-year-old man. He refused to try the people who were arrested for bombing that school as terrorists in the newly created Canadian terror legislation. He refused to do it because he felt that he was going to charge them with arson. They were young boys, and he didn't want them to ruin the rest of their lives. When I called him out on that and proved that their attack was actually 100% a terror attack as defined by the law in Canada, he agreed with me but still tried them as arsonists. And they were out of jail 5 years later. In the United States, in New Jersey, just 5 years ago, there was an attack on a grocery store, a Jewish grocery store. Two people got out of a car and shot up the grocery store. They were charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. They were in charge with terror. If governments don't want to use their terror legislation to charge actual terrorist attacks because they don't want to admit that the Jewish community has been experiencing terror attacks on their land, they don't want to admit that they have terrorism happening on mainland US and mainland Canada and mainland Australia, because they don't want to admit this, they refuse to classify anything that happens that's a terror attack against the Jewish community as a terror attack. And so the Jewish community suffers from that. They suffer because there is no consequence to an attack on the Jewish communities. An arsonist goes to jail for 5 years and then is released. So a 13-year-old or 14-year-old that commits a terror attack against the Jewish community by lighting a synagogue on fire or firebombing a building and causing hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage goes to jail for 5 years and then is released. Who cares? 5 years for a 13-year-old. He's 18 when he gets out. He has his whole life in front of him. Where is the deterrent? Where is the incentive for him not to commit this attack if he knows that the politicians and the police don't care? It's mind-boggling. but it's not. I know my whole show today has been full of contradictions. But it's mind-boggling, but it's really not mind-boggling. When you think about it, the Jews have outlived their welcome in North America. They've completely outlived their welcome. And it's time for the Jewish community to realize that their welcome has been outlived. They haven't done that yet. Jewish community leaders still feel that there's some way that they could live in North America and some way they could convince the Jew haters not to hate them anymore. We all know that's impossible. Once a country decides that they hate the Jews, then the end is near for the Jewish people of that country. Look what happened in France. Look what's continuing to happen in France. Look what happened all over Europe. It's time for the community, the Jewish community leadership, to get up and say, enough is enough. We are not going to tolerate this anymore. We're not going to accept this anymore. And this is not going to happen anymore. And we are going to encourage our communities to move out of North America, move out of Europe, move out of Australia, and go to Israel. It's time for leadership to step up and start leading. Stop collecting the fat checks and start leading. And once we have leadership that leads, then maybe, just maybe, the Jewish community could be saved. But if we ignore the situation, we allow this to continue, we are going to find that the Jewish community is going to be killed in the diaspora, and Israel will not be able to save them. So heed the signs, watch what's happening, and let's hope that the Jewish community can survive. I'm Howie Silberger. This is Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio. Visit the website, israelnewstalkradio.com, for all sorts of great shows on Israel News Talk Radio. I'll see you again next show.